talking about becoming fortified in your inner man. Strengthen in your inner man, because where Christ dwells in us is in our spirit, in the inner man. And when the inner man has been strengthened and fortified, from there, the inner man is able to keep your mind and your soul, your emotions, your will, your desires more under control. Where you live by the Spirit more than your emotions. You're led by truth rather than just confusion in your mind. It produces a great stability in your life. When you're strong in your inner man, and for those of you, us or you who are new in our study tonight, even Christ, it says of Christ, He became strong in spirit. It says the same thing of John the Baptist, they became strong in spirit. So we're looking at this process of being made strong in spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that works this strength, but it's also a process where you're disciplined, you're trained, where someone who has experience in this grace through the Spirit, using that experience that God has brought them through, helps you understand these things of the Spirit so that you can experience them as well. And particularly, we're talking about one area. One area last week that we're going to continue on this week is that how do you prepare and how do you respond to thought attacks, mental attacks, temptations that in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul calls fiery darts, thought attacks that come against you. We're going to start where we left off last week, where I said the unfortified mind becomes supercharged with a mental storm. Something, and oftentimes this starts subtly. Just a mood comes over you. You hear a report. You have a conversation with someone. And suddenly you feel disturbed, unsettled, uneasy. And that, if that unsettledness, that uneasiness, that disturbance builds, if the temptation is not recognized soon, and you don't take proper measure, it can build an intensity. And what happens, just like in an atmosphere condition, if it gets too intense within you, and you lose control, you're going to arc. You're going to react in a way just like clouds do. There's going to be a lightning strike, and too powerful. Something you said, even if it's accurate, said way too strong, aggressive, defensive, not careful. Someone's hurt. So, the inner man, when we become fortified, the inner man becomes almost like a spiritual weather center to detect when the first sign that you're disturbed, when you begin to be disturbed. Your inner man is never disturbed. Your inner man, where Christ is at peace. And from there, your inner man will be the first thing to detect what's going on, when the disturbance begins. And it tracks it. Your inner man knows what's going on in your mind. It can see what's happening in your emotions. It knows your mood. And if you tune into your inner man, it will warn you. Your inner man, from your spirit, it will provide you an early warning that there's a storm building in emotions or in your mind. You have to learn to detect that warning in your spirit. But it's there. It will warn you of the impending danger, and we need to learn. And this early detection warns us of the developing storm and allows you to begin to take protective measures. Because there are protective measures you can take when you're being attacked, when you're being tempted. And what that allows you to do is it alerts you to the disturbance, to the storm, to the temptation. And you right away, you can begin to look for something the Bible calls the way of escape. Have you heard that term before? The way of escape? Where have we heard that? No temptation is taken you, but such is common to man. But the Lord God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. But along with the temptation, will make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear up under it. Okay, we can all say this. The Lord never allows us to be tempted above what we can bear. Now, what He does allow is He allows us to be tempted, right? So He allows us to feel the disturbance. He allows the beginning of the storm. He allows the building up of that. It's okay. He allows that. It's not overwhelming to us. It's difficult. We suffer from that. Jesus suffered when He was tempted. But it does not overwhelm you. It's something we learn to deal with. So what is this way of escape? This way of escape is like a spiritual storm shelter. You've seen the old Kansas, the tornadoes on the Kansas Prairie. What did all the farms have? They had this storm shelter in the ground where if you saw the winds coming and you saw a bank cloud coming and you saw the hail coming, the family could go into the shelter and take cover. You hear it now in the warnings we have now. Our weather service actually tells us, take cover. Find a secure area and take cover. Your inner man is that place in Christ. This spiritual storm shelter is in Christ. See, when you're abiding in Christ, when you draw near the Lord, even when your mind is disturbed, your emotions are unsettled, and you're shaken in your soul, Christ is not shaken. Christ is at peace. And when you draw near Him, He becomes a shelter for you. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Draw near to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, you can't resist something you're not conscious of. You'll know he's attacking you. You'll know that he's troubling you. But you can still, in the midst of that attack, with the disturbance, you can draw near to God, and your inner man will guide you how to do that. So how do we submit to God? Well, the Holy Spirit will speak from your inner man. You know, you ever wondered how you can think two different things at the same time? How is that possible? You only have one mind. It's not your left side thinking thing, something, and your right side thinking the other thing. No, it's your natural mind is aware of what thought, and your inner man. Your inner man has the truth. Your inner man, where Christ lives, the Holy Spirit is there, will guide you. So, if we receive and we follow His counsel, then His counsel guides us to God for protection during the devil's attack thoughts. Now, I want to say this, and this should be good news to everybody. The attack thoughts themselves are not sin. Being disturbed is not sin. Having a bad thought is not sin. You can't stop being tempted. If Satan throws bad thoughts at you about someone or about something or thoughts about complaining, you have not yet sinned. That's a thought. Acting upon it would become a sin. Not having the thought. If you're wrestling with it and you're resisting it, you're conscious of it. You've not sinned. There's no such thing that you have in Christ means that you'll never have a bad thought, you'll never have a bad mood, you'll never have some kind of disturbance. That's not sin. That's human weakness. That's vulnerability. That's living in this world. Temptation is not sin. It's when you yield. When you give in to the temptation, only acting upon the wrong thought is sin. Resisting the thought and obeying God by faith is a place of safety. That's what we need to learn. That's what we need to learn to do. An example. Anger. Anger is not sin, but it will lead to sin if you yield to the thoughts and act on them. The inner man will detect,
a storm's brewing,
your mind's going, your emotions are going, you can detect it, the atmosphere's getting cloudy, you can't see the sun anymore, S-O-N, he's blocked, it looks like there's going to be a storm, it's getting windy, but listen, it's not sin yet. The inner man detects the coming anger storm and he sounds the watch and the warning. Now look at this. Anger is one letter away from what?
Danger.
Anger is not a safe thing. So when your inner man sounds a warning, hey, you're in warning, a tornado warning, or tornado watch, be careful because anger places us in a very vulnerable position. Passion is difficult to deal with. But anger itself is not sin. Passion itself is not sin. Wrestling with something difficulty, wrestling with an attitude is not sin. Only yielding to it is. Okay?
We need to make sure we understand that.
But what will an anger storm produce? A tornado tongue. Oh, yeah. If you let this storm cloud build and you don't bring it into check, I mean, a gust of wind will come right out of your mouth. And it will strike. And it just... Violent words do great damage. Now, notice I said violent words. I didn't say inaccurate, did I? They can be true. They can be factual. Even true words can be very damaging. You know, wind is only damaging at very high speeds, right? That's why the Bible says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Slow to speak. When we speak, when we give in to the wind and we start letting our tongue go, danger. Danger. Even if what we say is accurate, truth spoken with too much force can be very damaging to people. Because it may be true. I've used the illustration before. It's common. You always... Well, maybe that may be quite true. Or you never... But if it's not full of mercy... It's not full of grace. It's not full of hope. It's not loving someone like Christ loved us. This is what it says of Christ. A bruised reed he will not break. You know what a bruised reed was? Those things by the Nile, by the rivers? That means if it was damaged a little bit, and you could see it's crimped, you'd have to handle that pretty gently, wouldn't you? Because it's damaged already. Sometimes, we're being irritated or tested by or tempted by or frustrated by a damaged believer. And they're sometimes hard to be around. Maybe they're in a self-pity party or maybe they're complaining again and they're a damaged reed and we're tired of it. Will you? Stop. You know. Smoldering wick. He will not snuff out. You know what a smoldering wick is? That's what it is. You see right there? One time the Lord gave me an illustration about me. Because I was a very passionate person. I could do this. Here's this smoldering wick. Just almost on the verge of going out. And I said, what's wrong with you? And here goes, wow, blows it right out. Because I reacted in passion. Even if what I said was true. Guard the mouth whenever passion is brewing. Because passion will produce word gust. A gust of words is coming out that blow away the weak. It's not wise. It's not wise to do that. The Holy Spirit from our inside will restrain us and speak to us when we're under the pressure of passion. And it'll feel like a bridle right from the inside. You know what a bridle is? Horse wants to go, but The bridle puts the pressure right up on the mouth of a horse. And so it overcomes its urge because of that bridle. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 26, that those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is? That means if we say we can't help what we say, we've just said our religion is worthless. If we say, did you hear that? If we say we can't help what we say, our religion is worthless. Yes, we can. You know how we can? Because the Holy Spirit from within is a restraint for us. If we're fortified in our spirit, He helps us. The Bible only says this, no man can tame the tongue. That's all it says. We have more than a man living with us. We have Christ and His power and the Holy Spirit enabling us. If we listen, if we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit within. When we resist the devil and submit to the Spirit and reject the thought attack, we have found the way of escape and out of the snare and trap of the devil. This is one way we do this. If we're feeling the urge to give in to this temptation and we deny ourselves, this is what Christ said. To become a disciple, what does it take? If any man would come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. You know when the best time to deny ourselves is? When self wants to do something that's wrong. When you want to say what you shouldn't say. When you want to act on what you shouldn't act. Deny yourself. How can you do that? How can you say no to yourself? Where do you say no to yourself from? The inner man, where the Spirit of Christ is, says no to the natural man, where your mind and your heart is. Now learn to listen to the Spirit. And let the Spirit say. Remember what David went through this? Why art thou disturbed, O my soul? What's he talking? Is he talking to himself? He's talking to his soul. Where is he talking to his soul from? His inner man. He says to his soul, soul, hope thou in God. So from his inner man, he brought his disturbed outer man back into calm. And we can do this. We can deny the outer man that wants to give in and do wrong by learning to walk in this way. Because Satan will use our emotions and passions to lure us into snares. If we're not alert, we will yield our minds and tongues to his schemes. But you know, the Spirit will never be deceived. That's why the Bible says if you walk by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Your mind may not pick up the snare. Your emotions may not pick up that what you're feeling is a snare. That if you go there, it's just a trap. But the Spirit knows it's a snare. The Spirit will be saying to you from inside you, don't go there. Stop that. Don't yield to that. Stop. Don't go any further. If you keep going, you'll hear that from the inside. But if we do not deny ourselves, we will end up indulging ourselves. And you know what happens? What is repetitively indulging yourself become? Addiction. You know people can get addicted to getting angry? Because anger is a very strong feeling, isn't it? It's a surge. You can even be addicted to self-pity. It's not healthy. It won't lead you to righteousness. It's just a soulish thing that we all must deal with being human. We must learn to listen to the inner man. Because the inner man recognizes the snares. He sees the attack. He sees what's going on. He'll sound the warning and he'll guide us to the way of escape. Hearing the Spirit's counsel from the inner man will allow us to discern a thought as the bait that it really is. And once we recognize that a bait thought, it's lure, if we follow it, we're going to end up in a trap. My dad and I are trying to trap a skunk right now. We're just using the skunk's natural appetite. We've got the bait set. We've got it. We caught a squirrel yesterday. We weren't trying after a squirrel, but we're going to get that skunk because we know the skunk likes food. And we're not going to chase it. We're just going to attract it by what it likes. Satan's smart. He knows what we like. And if you don't recognize that something that might feel good, because sometimes it even feels good to be mad at someone. For whatever reason, it's a deceitful thing. The Bible calls them deceitful desires. Or it feels good to be like, no, you know, that's the old E-Hall song, gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark, depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. They sang this every week. People loved it. Because so many people can relate to it. We have to recognize. Once we recognize what a bait thought is, we can then take the thought captive and bring it under obedience to Christ. Have you heard that verse before? Taking every thought captive and bring it under the obedience to Christ. So in other words, we must place an evil thought, a wrong thought, a thought attack. We must be able to place these thoughts under arrest. You need to learn to arrest those thoughts. Now, places that need protection, what do? They station guards, don't they? They station guards on the perimeters, on the entrances and the exits of the place that they're wanting to guard. Well, this is what the Scripture says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will do what? Guard your heart and mind. What's guarding your heart and mind? It's interesting. Peace. Peace is the guard. It's interesting. Remember one of the first signs of a thought attack is a disturbance. Is an inner disturbance. A troubling. Bothered. Just some... It's... Because peace is this beautiful thing, this beautiful result of Christ and the Holy Spirit in control. The fruit of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and confidence. When the peace of Christ is guarding our mind and our heart, we're able to detect the disturbances faster. So that the peace almost acts like a sentry. So the fortified man will station this peace of Christ around us on guard duty to protect our mind. And the spiritual sentry will demand every thought present its ID. Then the Bible says, test what? Test everything. Test all things. The Spirit of Christ in your inner man, guarding you, will actually have you test all of your own thoughts. Or all the thoughts your conscience of. They may not be our thoughts. But we test thoughts to see only that which is good. Test all things, hold fast only to that which is good. And if a thought cannot prove it is good, the guard does what? Denies it access. It refuses to allow it in so it can do its damage. If the thought is found to be involved in something unlawful, like you're being attempted to develop an attitude towards someone, you're being tempted to say something about someone that's not going to be wholesome, even if it's factual, it will end up hurting them. It will cause someone else to be affected towards them. Even if you're feeling bad, you're hurt or you're wounded, so what you're going to say is actually the facts. You're going to say what they said or what they did. But you don't realize that by saying it to this other person, it's going to create an offense. If you don't recognize that, and you let it go, that kind of thought does a damage. But if you recognize the thought a thought is not good, it's not going to produce something good, you recognize it, you can take that thought captive. The guard will make an arrest. So a spiritual guard will apprehend an angry thought and place it under the custody of Christ's meekness. And spiritual sentries, these spiritual guards, you know what they do? They foil spiritual terrorism. Because isn't that what we... The world's very conscious now of the war against terror. Look, there's the war against terror has been going on since the devil's been here. There's no one that's a greater terrorist than the devil. There's no one who's done more damage, wrecked more homes, ruined more lives, affected more countries than the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And here we are, as a country, we'll spend billions of dollars to fight physical people that can only kill us and send us to heaven, and not be filled with the Spirit and fight the real terrorists? It doesn't make sense. Who's the real enemy? We, Christians, wrestle not against flesh and blood. Principalities and powers. So we need spiritual strength. So we find this through prayer and guidance. Evil thoughts must be apprehended before they accomplish their agenda. And once a thought becomes suspect, every means necessary should be taken to apprehend it. Carnal thoughts should be regarded as criminal thoughts. Your carnal mind or your carnal will is criminal. It's not safe for the body of Christ. No one is safe when criminal thoughts are on the loose. Only areas that have been adequately secured can be effectively guarded. I want to spend some time here. What do I mean by that? If there's already too much activity going in and out, and you haven't established a very secure perimeter, how can you protect an area? There must first become a secured area. We need, that's why we're talking about being fortified in the Spirit. Being fortified in the Spirit, being strengthened so that you can keep the wrong kind of thoughts out. Now, this secure area spiritually, the Bible calls it a sound mind. Because once a person has learned to walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit has been helping them learn, training them to take the wrong thoughts captive and only act on the right thoughts, their mind begins to be renewed. And their mind begins to become sound. They begin to have a sound mind. They think right. They judge right. They discern right. They speak right. It's a process. Their mind becomes secure. And it's become secure and sound because it's been listening to the Holy Spirit within. Oh, the beauty of a sound mind. It would keep us from so many areas. And what a sound mind is? It's a mind that has been trained and disciplined in the truth of God's words. So a sound mind, when any thought comes across, it's being tested by, it's being examined by a sound mind. And a sound mind is examining, is this true? Is this wholesome? Is this full of mercy? Is this gracious? Is this loving? Will this edify? Will this have good fruit? Okay? We're almost done. So the benefit of a disciplined mind, when your mind is trained like this and becomes secure, a secured area can experience peace. Your peace. This condition of being guarded by peace. Every believer needs this peace of heart and mind. A heart at peace is life to the body. That's why the Scripture says, make it your ambition to lead a tranquil life. It's not saying, make it your ambition to live in a nice neighborhood and get along with your neighbors. It's talking about inner tranquility. Interior tranquility. Where you rest. You're not disturbed all the time. There's not always a storm going on. The word means to rest from work, cease from altercation, and to be silent, live quietly. Don't be all worked. We even say it, I'm all worked. You're all worked up. You're on edge. Now here's the question, and as we wrap this up. How can a person who's often disturbed detect a disturbing intruder? If an area has not been secure and they're just coming and going, how can you detect? If you're not tranquil, how can you detect the first sign of a disturbing thought? How can a person who is often disturbed detect a disturbing intruder? Once a heart is at peace, though, detection is easier. All right? Here's a question for you with an illustration. If your back was to the water and you heard a splash behind you, which conditions would favor you turning around to identify precisely where the point of entry was? Gusty or choppy conditions, or still and calm? What do you think? You're standing back, your back is in the water, you hear a kerplunk. You look around. Could you find out where it was in that kind of condition? No, you couldn't, could you? You think you could there? You see, if you are at peace in your inner man, you'll know when a disturbing thought comes. You'll catch it early. And if you catch it early, detection is a key to early overcoming early. All right? So calmness and stillness of soul is developed through the fortifying work of the Holy Spirit. Paranoia, confusion, are close companions, and they're designed to hinder this peace and calm. Turbulence and disturbance create an atmosphere where detection is far more difficult. We need the peace of Christ guarding our heart and mind. That comes through having a fortified spirit. Then you're at rest. And in this calm place of spiritual life, quicker and quicker and quicker, you'll catch when the temptation begins. You'll be ready. You'll be ready sooner. You know, it happens to me still. I'm just going along and suddenly there's a train of thought. And this train of thought, I'm thinking, I'm having a conversation with someone. It's imaginary. If you ever have imaginary conversation with people? If you're not careful, the conversation can go on a long ways. You're telling them what you hope to be able to say or what you think they need to hear. And it's imaginary and it's vain. It's a thought attack. You realize that? It's a thought attack. It's bait. You're being drawn. But a calm spirit picks that up. Now and then I'll snap. What am I doing? Stop that. I stop suddenly and realize what I'm doing. I don't want to step in the snare. Because if I think on that too long, I probably am going to say it. You know, because it always sounds good to you, doesn't it? It's not good. We need to learn. We need to learn to be strong and fortified in the inner man. And a fruit of that process making good progress is a greater inner calm, a greater tranquility. You secured your soul better, and you'll recognize attacks of the devil quicker. We'll continue to deal with this more next week. We need to take an offer.